U.S. tries to get Asia to go along with new sanctions against Iran, it won't be easy.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is on his way to Asia today with a goal of getting Japan and China on board with new economic sanctions against Iran. And the tensions between the U.S. and Iran continue to rise. An Iranian news agency is reporting this morning that the country has just convicted an American man of working for the CIA and sentenced him to death. But even so, convincing Asian nations to tighten the screws on Iran's oil revenue is no easy feat. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Geithner's trip is part of an effort to cut Iran off from as many customers as possible. Already, the United States punishes banks that do oil deals with Tehran. And the Europeans talk of a joint oil embargo by month's end. But China is Iran's biggest buyer. It takes about 22% of its exported crude. And it opposes sanctions. Still, not a deal-breaker, says energy analyst Trevor Hauser at the Rhodium Group. Say you're the Iranian state oil company.
Now let's say some of those buyers leave the table. Europeans are no longer willing to buy, Japanese are no longer willing to buy, and the Koreans are no longer willing to buy. Now I'm only dealing with the Indians and the Chinese, which puts refiners in those countries in a better position in terms of price negotiation.
China bargains a lower price, and Iran gets less money. That's the idea. But even so, will it hurt Tehran enough to deter its nuclear ambitions? Not everyone is convinced. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Now to the Swiss drug maker Novartis, which has just issued a recall of certain bottles of some very common over-the-counter drugs, Excedrin, Buferin, Nodose, and Gas X. Consumers are being asked to stop using the recalled drugs and contact the company for a refund. Marketplace's John Dimsdale tells us why.
Novartis says the bottles may include broken or chipped tablets from other products, which means customers could take an incorrect drug or receive a higher or lower dose than intended. A factory in Nebraska has been shut down for repairs. Bottles of Excedrin and Nodose, with expiration dates on or before December 2014, and Buferin and GasX bottles that expire on or before December 2013 are being recalled. University of Southern California pharmaceutical professor Joel Hay says Novartis is doing the right thing by voluntarily withdrawing the drugs.
Occasionally accidents happen, but the worst way to compound that would be to try and hide or obfuscate what actually happened.
Hay thinks Novartis can avoid losing customers over the long term by being honest and upfront. But the Swiss drugmaker says the recalls and factory repairs will cost $120 million. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up 1.5% in Hong Kong, but down slightly right now in London and in Frankfurt. Also lower mall vacancies in the fourth quarter here in this country. The commercial real estate tracking firm Reis says the mall vacancy rate dropped from 9.4% to 9.2%. Before the recession, by the way, it was 5.5%. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 55 points to close at 12,359.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The world's largest consumer electronics exhibition is getting underway today in Las Vegas. But the buzz around this year's show isn't about the new product we'll all be using in the future. It's about the fact that the show has lost some of its influence. John Moe is the host of Marketplace Tech Report, and he joins us now from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas to explain. John, good morning.
Hi, Jeremy.
So the Consumer Electronics Show is changing this year. What's going on?
Well, this is the last year that Microsoft is going to be a part of the show. They've been kind of a big staple of the conference for many years. They've debuted a lot of products here, but they say that after this year, they're kind of bowing out and they're playing down expectations for Steve Ballmer's big keynote address tonight. And it's kind of continuing a trend. Apple doesn't really display anything here. Amazon doesn't debut anything here. And so the big heavy hitters are kind of fading away a little bit.
Are the smaller companies that are at the Consumer Electronics Show, are they debuting some interesting stuff?
Oh yeah, there's a lot going on here. There's tons of companies debuting all sorts of things. You know, what you're seeing instead of those big products, those big fancy products, is you're seeing fewer products that can do more things. So there's more of an emphasis on what are called ultrabooks. That's a term coined by Intel, and those are computers meant to compete with the MacBook Air, extremely lightweight computers. Mm. You're seeing TVs that act more like computers, an emphasis on apps, that kind of thing. So you're maybe not seeing the video cameras that you used to see or the specific products, but you're seeing more versatile products that they're hoping will be easier to use and can do more things.
And it's not just these multimedia devices that are being shown at the Consumer Electronics Show. John, what else have you seen that's been pretty interesting?
Well, there's all sorts of things going on. Just pick any geometrical shape, and there's probably an iPod docking station that comes in that shape. Probably the most intriguing thing I've seen so far was from the House of Marley, which is the estate of Bob Marley, and they're debuting a bunch of products like headphones that are made from what they say are sustainable materials like aluminum and, naturally, hemp. And I think they stand out not only because you see a big picture of Bob Marley at their booth, but because it's a color other than black, silver, or white, which almost every other product you see here is. Mm. And so it's getting a lot of attention because it's just sort of breaking the mold of what's out there.
Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe joining us from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. John, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And finally, to the penny, the 1 cent coin that you need five of just to buy the absolute cheapest piece of gum on the market. Well, you might want to hold on to your pennies from now on because one of them just went for $1 million at an auction in Florida. The penny was made in 1793. That was the first year the U.S. Mint made its own coins. Now, that penny would not be worth $1 million just from inflation over time. Even the most generous figures put that closer to $500. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.